Blog Talk Radio.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet.
Celebrate
it
down.
Raining now, here on the battleground.
For your glory,
for your glory.
We're taking
territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before.
I love that song. That song is right for this time. I hope everybody is having an amazing day. We are in for an amazing, amazing, amazing treat for today. We are going to talk about our brother. I told you that this week we was going to take some time and we're going to discuss Ozone Ortho or Ozone Wallace. Y'all bear with me with his name. Welcome, welcome, welcome. As you come in, I want you to hit the button, hit the subscribe, hit the bell, all that great stuff, okay? You already know to do that. I hate to keep telling y'all to do that all the time. I think that's so trivial, okay? But go ahead and hit the bell, like and share, give me a down, give me a up, doesn't matter, just because it is what it is. We are going to continue with racism in America. Don't forget my new channel, our new reality. And I'm trying to build up both channels, so you guys help me out there. We are going to talk about something that's so important, and I need a round table today. I need some people that's going to take the thinking cap off. I want you to think outside the box. I want you to see it totally different than you would ordinarily see it. Don't just see Ozone. He is innocent until proven guilty. That's all I want you to do. I want those laws to apply to black people. I want us to be able to live in this country as who we are, people, black people that want peace, but we want to be treated like you treat everybody else. This case, you guys, this case is a turn of a century. It's going to be a turn of a century for us. This case means so much, but you got to look at it. You got to look at it from a different angle. I'm looking at a comment, and I see Daniel says, Ozone is going to prison. Why? Tell me why you think that. Are you thinking that because of what we usually see? Are you saying that because of he's really guilty? Are you saying that because that's the way it's always been? Are you saying that because of that things you don't want things to change? Are you saying it because we know that there's a system that needs to change, but white folk is fighting tooth and nail for it not to change? We've seen in the past, I've done shows, different shows, that have shown us that racism on our police force is there, that our police force has been infiltrated by the Proud Boys, neo-Nazis, KKK, white folk that just hate black people and want to do black people harm. So they get on the force so that they can kill and murder black people legally. They use their system against us. Every time we speak truth, every time we speak freedom, every time we speak justice, Martin Luther King was nonviolent. He didn't lift a finger to hurt anybody, and these devils murdered him for speaking truth, for speaking against their system, for speaking equality, for wanting justice, for wanting to live in America free, free of brutality, free of injustices, free of just free. And he was murdered. So now we have a young man, okay, that I believe that he felt his life was in jeopardy. And I'm going to explain why. We have been dealing with these police officers since slavery because that's how the police department was formed. I want to talk about how the police department was formed. That might help us to understand what is going on here. Let's talk about that. Hold on, you guys. Because I pull up this stuff and then it goes away. So y'all bear with me. The history of police in America and the first force. First publicly funded organized police force with officers on duty full-time was created in Boston in 1838. These merchants came up with a way to save money by transferring to the cost of maintaining a police force to citizens by arguing that it was for the collective good. Let's read more into that, okay? Let's read more into that. How the U.S. got its police force. And I think we need to find out the history in order to understand why the police force is the way they are toward black people. We all know that they developed through the slave catchers and they were catching slaves. And okay, you have to understand that. Let's talk about that. Because last week I did a show and I showed you the behaviors that some of these police officers, not saying all, I'm saying some, because I don't know all of the police officers, but the ones that I know, the behavior is tragic. The behavior is terrorism. The behavior is thugs and gangsters, okay? You call black folk gangsters, but these police officers are gangsters. You hurt one, you hurt all. And that's how black folks should be sticking together. You hurt one of us, you hurt all of us. Our brother needs our help because this case right here is going to be a turn of a century, and I'm going to tell you why. Because this is going to show light on how the police department really is. That's because we can't just say, oh, he's guilty, he's going to jail because he killed an officer. Was that officer there by rights? Was he doing his job? Was he there trying to start trouble? Was he doing his usual? Okay, because we know when police show up for black people, we either end up beat to death or we end up dead. Okay, we can come up with story after story, and next week we're going to talk about how many falsified reports have been written by the police. Okay, now these are men that are supposed to be protecting and serving, but we already seen last week that they have workers as long as my arm, and they still are police officers. They've killed, some have killed more than one, two, three people. One man killed up to five people, okay? We have to understand what we're dealing with, family. This is what I need us to believe. I need you to see who we're really dealing with. Let's go on. It would be easy to think that the police officer is a figure who has existed since the beginning of civilization. That's the idea on display in the proclamation from President JFK John Kennedy. On the dedication of the week of May 15th on National Police Week, in which he noted that law enforcement officers had been protecting America since the nation's birth. In fact, the U.S. police force is a relatively modern invention sparked by changing notions of public order, driven in turn by economics and politics, according to Gary Porter, a crime historian of Eastern Kentucky University. Policing in colonial America has been very informal, based on a for-profit, privately funded services that employed people part-time. Towns also commonly relied on the night watch, in which volunteers signed up for a certain day and time, mostly to look out for fellow colonists engaging in prostitution or gambling. Boston started one in 1636, New York followed in 1658, and Philadelphia created one in 1700. But that system wasn't very efficient because the watchmen often slept and drank while on duty. They're still doing that today, right? And there are people who were put on watch duty as a form of punishment. Night watch officers were supervised by constable. Okay, but that wasn't exactly a high sought after job either. Early policemen didn't want to wear badges because those guys had, listen, bad reputations to begin with. Okay, even back then, police officers had bad reputations. Let's go on. And they didn't want to be identified as people that other people didn't like. That's going on today, right? When localities tried compulsory services, if you were rich enough, you paid someone to do it for you, ironically a criminal or a community thug. Okay, whoa, hold on. Hold on, let's go back to that. When localities tried compulsory services, if you were rich enough, you paid someone to do it for you, ironically a criminal or community thug. Did y'all hear that? Did you hear that? Rewind the tape and hear it again. As the nation grew, however, different regimes made use of different policing systems. In cities, increasing urbanization rendered the night watch system completely useless as communities got too big. The first publicly funded organized police force with officers on duty full time was created in Boston in 1838. Boston was a large shipping commercial center, and businesses had been hiring people to protect their property and safeguarding the transportation of goods from the port of Boston to other places, says Porter. These merchants came up with a way to save money by transferring to the cost of maintaining a police force to citizens by arguing that it was for the collective good. In the South, however, the economics that drove the creation of police forces were centered not on the protection of shipping interests, but on the preservation of the slavery system. Some of the preliminary policing institutions were the slave patrols tasked with chasing down runaway and preventing slave revolts. Let's listen. Porter says, the first formal slave patrol had been created in the Carolina colonies in 1704. During the Civil War, the military became the primary form of law enforcement in the South. But during Reconstruction, many local sheriffs functioned in a way analogies to the earlier slave patrols, enforced segregation and the disenfranchisement of freed slaves. Listen, this is where it came from. Let's see where it ends up, okay? In general, throughout the 19th century and beyond, the definition of public order, that which the police officer was charged with maintaining, depending whom was asked. For example, businessmen in the late 19th century had both connections to politicians and an image of the kind of people most likely to go on strike and disrupt their workforce. So it's not coincident that by the late 1880s, all the major U.S. cities had police forces. Fears of labor union organizers and a large wave of Catholic, Irish, Italian, German, and Eastern European immigrants who looked and acted differently from the people who had dominated cities before drove the call for the preservation of law and order, or at least a version of it, prompted by dominant interests. For example, people who drank at taverns rather than at home were seen as dangerous people by others. But they might have pointed out other factors, such as how living in a smaller home makes drinking in a tavern more appealing. The irony of the logic Porter points out is that the businessmen who maintained this belief were often the ones who profited off the commercial sale of alcohol in public places. At the same time, the late 19th century was the era a political machine, so police captains and sergeants for each precinct were often picked by the local politicians, partly ward leaders, okay, who often owned taverns or ran street games that intimidated voters. They then were able to use police as, listen, come on now, you guys. Y'all got to stay with me here. I know, come on, some of this is kind of boring, but I'm trying to show you the history. They then were able to use police to harass opponents of that particular political party. Okay? Or provide payoff for officers to turn a blind eye to allow illegal drinking, gambling, and prostitution. Do they not do that now? How has it changed? Let's continue. This situation was exacerbated during Prohibition, leading President Hoover to appoint the Wickersham Commission in 1929 to investigate the ineffectiveness of law enforcement nationwide. Now, this took place in 1929. Okay, it was called the Wickersham Commission, and they were to investigate the ineffectiveness of law enforcement nationwide. To make police independent from political party, ward leaders, the map of police precincts was changed so that they would not correspond to political wards. The drive to professionalize the police followed, which means that the concept of the career cops, as we recognize it today, is less than a century old. Okay, we can change the name, but did we change the behavior? That's my question. Further campaigns for police professionals were prompted as the 20th century progressed, but crime historian Samuel Walker, The Police in America, okay, an introduction argues that the move toward professionalism wasn't all good. That movement, he agrees, promoted the creation of police departments that were inward-looking and isolated from the public. That's still today. And crime control tactics that ended up exacerbating tension between police and the community, us against them. They watched over. And crime control tactics that ended up exacerbating tensions between police and the communities they watched over, okay? And also, more than a half century after Kennedy 1963 proclamation, the improvement and modernization of America's surprisingly young police force continued to this day. Come on, let's see what, come on, where my rest at, okay? I want us to understand, let's see what, hold on, I got to go to the next page. Got to go to the next page, y'all, hold on. I really want us to understand. Hold on, here it comes, Hold on, you guys. I'm losing my space, and then it's not coming up. I want you to understand how it all started. Where did it all come from? That's what we're talking about, okay? Okay. The development of policing in the United States closely followed the development of policing in England. In the early colonies, policing took two forms. It was both informal and communal, which is referred to as the watch or private for-profit policing, which is called the big stick, okay? The watch system was composed of community volunteers whose primary duties was to warn of impending danger. Boston created a night watch in 1636, New York. Okay, we did that. The night watch was not a particularly effective crime control device. Watchmen often slept. Okay, we did that already. Where am I? Hold on. I don't want to be. Hold on. Let me see. Hold on. I don't want to go down here because this is I lost my spot. Question. Hold on, let me see. Okay. The key court, hold on, let me go up here some. In the southern states, the development of American policing followed a different path. The genesis of modern police organization in the south of the slave patrol, okay? The first form of slave patrol was created in the Carolina colonies in 1704. Slave patrols had three primary functions, one to chase down, apprehend, and return to their owners runaway slaves, two to provide a form of organized terror to deter slave revolts, and three to maintain a form of discipline, okay, for slave workers who were subject to summary justice outside of the law if they violated any plantation rules. Following the Civil War, these vigilant style organizations evolved in modern Southern police departments, primarily as a means of controlling freed slaves who are now laborers working in an agricultural caste system and enforcing Jim Crow segregating laws designed to defy freed slaves' equal rights and access to the political system. Did you hear that? This is what we're dealing with, you guys. The key question, of course, is what was it about the United States in the 1830s that necessitated the development of local centralized bureaucratic police forces? One answer is that cities were growing. The United States was no longer a collection of small cities or rural hamlets. Urbanization was occurring at an ever-quickening pace. And old informal watch and constable systems were no longer adequate to control disorder. Okay, and incidental accounts suggest increase in crime and vice in urban centers. Mob violence, particularly violence directed at immigrants and African Americans by white youth, occurred with some frequency. Public disorder, mostly public drinking and sometimes prostitution, was more visible and less easily controlled in growing urban centers than it had been rural villages, okay? But evidence of an actual crime wave is lacking. So if the modern America police force was not to direct response to crime, then what was it a response to? More than crime, modern police forces in the United States emerged as a response to disorder. What constitutes social and public order depends largely upon who is defining those terms. In the cities of the 19th century, Americans, they were defined by the mercantile interest, okay, who thought taxes and political influences supported the development of bureaucrats, forcing institutions. These economic interests had a greater interest in social control than crime control. Private and for-profit policing was too disorganized and too crime-specific in form of fulfilling these needs. The emerging commercial elites needed to merchandise to ensure stable and orderly workforce and stable and orderly environments for the conduct of business, okay? This is what it was for, and to maintain of what they refer to as the collective good. These mercantile interests also wanted to divest themselves of the cost of protecting their own enterprises. So they were there to protect businesses, okay, transferring those costs from the private sector to the state. Okay, let me see what else. Hold on, let me see. Read part two. Okay, gosh. Okay, part two. Maintaining a stable and disciplinary workforce for the developing system of factory production and ensuring a safe, tranquil community for the conduct of commerce required an organized system of social control. The development profiting-based system of production and antagonized social tension in the community. Inequality was increased rapidly. The exploitation of workers through long hours, dangerous work conditions, and low pay was endemic. And the dominance of local government by economic elites were created political unrest. The only effective political strategy available to exploiting workers was what economic scientists referred to as rioting, which was actually a prima form of what would become union strikes against employers, okay? The modern police force not only provided an organized, centralized body of men, and they were all male, legally authorized to use force to maintain order, it also provided the illusion that this order was being maintained under the rule of law, not at the whim of those with economic power. Defining social control as a crime control was accomplished by raising the specter of the dangerous classes. The suggestion that the public drunkenness, crime, hooligans, political protests, and workers' riots were the products of biological inferior, morally intemperate, unskilled, and undereducated underclass. The consumption of alcohol was widely seen as a major cause of crime and public disorder. The irony, of course, is the public drunkenness didn't exist until the merchants and the commercial interests created venues for the encouraging the commercial sale of alcohol. But so you see that they're creating a problem, and then now they're going to come up with a plan. I'm trying to show you how it all started in America, policing, okay? This thing is so long. This thing goes down to like six, part six. I want the history of policing, that's what you guys need to look up, because I want you guys to really understand what we're dealing with now, okay? I see a comment where they say ozone is going to prison. We're really talking about ozone. But I wanted to talk about the history of policing. And I'm telling you, this article is just so long. It talks about early policing departments, shared two primary characteristics. They were notoriously corrupt and flagrantly brutal. They should come as no surprise that the police were under the control of local politicians. The local politicians' party, ward leaders in most cities, appointed the police executives in charge of the ward leaders. Also, most often was the neighborhood tavern owner. Sometimes the neighborhood pervene of gambling and prostitution, and usually the controlling influence over the neighborhood youth gangs who were used to get out the vote and intimidate opposition party voters. In this system, vice organized violence and political corruption. You have to understand, it's all corrupted. It came from a corruption. It came from a corrupt system, okay? These business owners, they owned taverns. People were leaving, going out, committing crimes and all that, but they did it to protect their property. It was all about protecting property. So that's what they formed, okay? And, of course, we know about the slave patrols. But for somebody, let's look at the system. It's all corrupt. So what do we do when we see the history of police dealing with black people, okay, that started with slave patrols, that's started with harassing, okay, and they did it to keep us in line. They did it to fear tactics. They did it to stop us from voting, and they're still doing it today as a fear tactic. We can stop this at any time, family. We can stop it any time. It's called money, holding your money. It's called group economics. It's called not purchasing any of their merchandise. We see a service, and we create a service that's not created already. We create that service, and we support our own. That's one way of doing it, okay? Yes, we're going to talk about that next week as far as how do we tear it all down? How do we rebuild it? What needs to take place? We're going to talk about that, but that's going to be a subject for next Tuesday. Maybe here at 11:30 Tuesday, we're going to talk about that. We're building this thing. We're building. We're trying to show you what Ozone was dealing with that night. And it's not just Ozone. I have a list of police officers that have written reports, that have lied on their reports, that have cost men lives. That cost them their life, cost them jail time. Like one man was in jail for 36 years. One man was in jail for 34 years for a false report, police report. This is what we're dealing with, you guys. So who's to say that Ozone didn't fear for his life? Because every time the police officers, every time we deal with the police, what happens? We end up dead, right? Just think about that. That night, Ozone decided to live. When that police officer called in at Charlie 777, Ozone knew. And he knew because of the police officer's past with black people that he was in trouble. Because he had no reason to call a Charlie 777. Ozone hadn't given him any flack. He wasn't cursing him out. Because Ozone didn't do what he wanted him to do, when he wanted him to do it, the police thought, okay, we're going to control this Negro, show him what we're working with. So that's when he got on the radio and called for backup. My thinking was, he thought, you know what, we're not going to do this, because when you get your buddies, you're going to ask for food. We're going to take care of it right here, right now. He was fighting for his life. He knew that once those buddies got there, that it was on. And he was going to be, either he was going to get beat to death or he was going to die. Because that's the past that black people have always faced with police officers. But do white folks face the same past? No. They don't go through, police officers come to them. They beg them to put down, and they can have a gun in hand. Dylan Roof killed 9 people in the church. They treated him to a meal. The guy that blew up, that shot up the school, I mean the nightclub, they had guns in hand. The one that shoot up Walmart have gun in hand. The one man that had 200 rounds, they had shoot out with police. He ended up giving up. He lived, right? If they hadn't been black, he would have died. Why can't we get the same treatment? That's my question. Why can't black people get the same treatment that you give everybody else? Why is it that when you come in our neighborhood, we end up dead? But you come in white folks' neighborhood, don't tell me about training. Training has absolutely nothing to do with it. Training has nothing to do with it because I saw when you had that 12-year-old boy and that 14-year-old girl who had a shootout with police, they didn't shoot back. They was begging them to put their weapons up. They was on the radio saying, hey, we're not going to have a shootout. We're not going to shoot these kids. They're kids. That's what they saw them as kids. They said, we're not going to shoot them, but they did end up shooting the girl, but she did die. They shot her, and they knew where to shoot her for her to live. You understand what I'm saying? But you had Micaiah Bryant, who had a knife that called police for her protection, that she had a knife trying to fight off two women, grown women that was there to beat her, to hurt her, to harm her. She called police, and the police got out blazing. Why couldn't Micaiah Bryant get the same, how come she couldn't get the same treatment that you gave that 14-year-old and the 12-year-old who had guns in hand? They had guns. They was having a shootout. But when the police come, did they come out? Blah, 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 blah. No, they didn't, did they? They came there, they assessed the situation, which is what you're supposed to do, and they thought about, okay, which way are we, how are we going to handle this? That police officer with Micaiah Bryant didn't get out assessing nothing. He got out shooting, blazing up. And we, as dummies, we gave him the, okay, oh, it was okay. She had a knife. I don't care if she had a damn grenade. I don't care what she had in her hand. Black, white folk have AR-15s, AR-47s, AR, handguns, and everything else. And they get the benefit of the doubt. They get the officers that's going to take a whole 3 hours But Tamir Rice, who had a 12 gun, got, what, 3 minutes? All of 6 minutes, he was dead? Really? I don't even think of 6 minutes. Why did Tamir Rice not get the same benefit? This is what I'm saying. Ozone knew that if those cops came, he was done. He knew it. He decided to live. And yes, he decided to live, and he did what he needed to do. I wasn't there. I don't know who shot the officer. I can't say who shot. Only the officer and Ozone know that. Only them two know, right? We can speculate, which is always speculation when it comes to the black man. You're going to always make him look as bad as you can. No, we're going to look at the system, and we're going to straighten the system out. It's time for the system to get straight. We have police that are thugs. These are America terrorists who get away with murder. They get away with mass murder. Why do they always get away with mass murder? What makes it okay? Why is it that we automatically assume that Ozone was wrong? Why is it that because the police officer came there and he said so and I'm white and he say so? And because you guys are looking at police officers, I don't think you understood where they came from. I don't think you understood why they're here. I don't think you understood what their job description is. It's not to defend black people. They are here to harass. It already told you in the article I just read. They were there to harass black people. They were there to make them harass them for wanting to vote. They were there because, hold on, let me see. I think I'm still on here. Blog Talk, you still with me? I think you are. Let me make sure. Blog Talk, okay, you still there. Just making sure you guys still with me, okay? If anybody wants to call in on Blog Talk, that number is 563-999-3682. If you want to call in and have a conversation, let's do that. Call in and let's have a conversation, okay? But my thing is, it is time for us to understand what we're really dealing with, and it's time for us to deal with the system. Whether we like it or not, it's time to deal with the system. We don't want to. But just because the officer stopped you does not make it right. Look, remember what happened to Sandra Bland. The officer stopped her. He was very violent. His voice was belligerent. He was hostile. They come to us with a crazy attitude. They come to us wanting us to act crazy. They come to us, and of course, when you come to us disrespectful, men don't be disrespectful back, okay? They don't come in peace. They don't come talking to you like they talk to white boys. Hey, you know, how you doing today? You having a good day? They got to come with all of this cussing you out. They want to cuss you out. They want to, you know, make you feel like you're nothing. You know, I'm the police and I say so, and you're going to do what I ask you to do, and you're going to do it now, and you're going to do it the way I say, or else I'm going to shoot you. And that's exactly how they come to us. No, you don't come to grown folk like that. You don't come to grown folk like that. We know their past when it comes to us. And we know that the DA, the mayor, the chief, the prosecutor, they're on cold. Because do they ever bring charges? Hardly ever. Derek Chauvin did, but it's on tape. But I'm surprised that he got 20 years. I'm surprised that they even brought him up on charges. Derek Chauvin, he was on the force 19 years. You know how many complaints he had? 17. Did they talk about that in the trial? No. So let's talk about this officer. Let's talk about this officer, Jason Reiner. Let's talk about what kind of officer was he. Did he have a record? Some officers do. Some officers have a record of being drunk, record of alcohol. And guess what? The union protects them. And a lot of times these officers get fired and they get their jobs right back. Officers have records also. You didn't know that. Officers sometimes shoot more than one people. I had an officer, did my show last week. He shot five people. Five. We had another officer that shot two people. Another one shot three people. Pull up the tape from last week. Go over the video from last week. I talk about these officers that had bad tempers, anger management, had violent tendencies with their families. Okay? So we're not dealing with angels. We are dealing with thugs that because I say so, and I'm going to do what the hell I want to do. And it don't matter if I'm wrong or right because I'm the head nigga in charge. Well, I'm the head KKK in charge. Because we know that our police force has been infiltrated by the Proud Boys, KKK, neo-Nazis, and anybody else. We know that. So when do we face the issues and face truth and really see what we're working with right now as far as this police department? Did anybody do any homework as far as this police department? Because I remember with Michael Brown, okay, we had a whole lot of police officers or police forces that the whole – no, that wasn't Michael Brown. That was Ahmaud Arbery. That whole police force had complaints against it. They had brought charges against that police force, the chief especially. So this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with thugs. We're dealing with animals. And you want us to protect you. We want us to – you want us to listen to when you act like a thug, you're supposed to get free rein on black folks. We're supposed to come in and allow you to continue to murder us and to get away with it because your DAs and your city, your lawyers and your prosecutors and your chiefs and your mayors are on code. So they're always going to say, nope, not pressing charges. Justifiable. We talked about that last week, how one of the DAs said it was justifiable, right? Said it was justifiable because he's given the benefit of the doubt to the officers. Even though we know these officers write false reports. Why do they write false reports? Because a lot of times they're saving their skin. A lot of times they are doing stuff that they ain't got no business doing. A lot of times they are they've done some wrong, excessive force, and they're covering their butt. So guess what? I'm going to write a false report to cover my butt, even though I could write a report that's going to give this person 35 years. And I saw a report, you'll see next week, the report, where the guy had did 35 years, and he was innocent, and they knew it. The evidence that he was innocent was in the cabinet at the police station. So they knew. They knew it. But did they care? Nope, but it's a new day now. It's a new day. We're going to talk about this. How they move, you guys. Police have anger issues. We know that. We got thugs that's acting like terrorists. We got gang members. These are gang members. The way they treat Ortho is terrible. And Ortho had a friend. We're going to talk about Spike next week, too. We're going to talk about him. He was going out there to visit Ortho to make sure everything was going good. What'd they do? Because he was supporting Ortho, they brought him up on charges. He had a gun. They said his gun permit was suspended. But previously, it should have been reinstated, but it was not. Why didn't they reinstate? See, this is what I'm saying. When you do stuff and when they jack up stuff, they try to mess your life up. Just like in FAC, they bringing him up on false bogus charges. Why? Because he wants to defend his people. Because he wants them to straighten out the system. Because he was going down to protect Breonna Taylor, well, not protect her, to make sure that those officers went to jail. And still today, nobody went to jail. But they brought charges up on him, bogus charges. We know that. We know the charges are bogus. But when do we, family, hold these officers accountable? When do we hold the system accountable? When? Why is it that we know? Why is it that the Congress know, Senate know, that there is something wrong with this system? They did a study. We just talked about they did a study. They know that there's something wrong with this study. So what did your President Biden do? He just gave them $300 million. Think of what? Or it might be billion. He just gave them double down. Let them know, I trust you. I got you. Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis, whatever his name is, Ron. He don't deserve no mister. He's evil. He just did the dog whistle. Told him, come on down here. We got you. We got a different type of culture down here. I'm going to back my officers. So he's saying that no matter what kind of person you are, no matter what kind of dirt you do, no matter if you're doing your job right or not, no matter if you're a thug, no matter if you're a terrorist, no matter if you're a gangster, no matter if you kill black people, I'm going to back you. What's that say about him? It doesn't matter. He said it. You can pull up the interview. He said, I got you. No matter what, we're going to back the officers. That's what he said. So that's telling me that he's just as dirty as they are. He's just as dirty. If you know those officers are doing wrong, if you know that they're bringing up false charges, writing false reports, and you do nothing about it, silence is golden, right? Silence is golden. You had a Florida governor. He needs to be voted out. Florida, get his behind out of that office. Get him out of that chair. And you know what they did to our brother Gilliam? They know that that brother had some issues, and he knew that Gilliam, this year, Gilliam was going to run again. So they tried to destroy Gilliam. That's why they did what they did. You ain't going to tell me Gilliam ain't the only one with some issues like that. You got a whole lot of senators that was messing with those pages up in D.C. 2 years ago. And the pages were telling their parents, and the parents were talking about it. Whole lot of senators in Congress who had them little underage pages working for them, them little boys, they was harassing them boys. But they didn't blow that story up, did they? No, they didn't. Why? Because I'm white supremacist, and I say something, and I don't have to. And we only going to destroy the black ones. We only going to destroy the ones that we know that can make a difference. We only going to destroy the ones that we know can make a difference. And that's what they do. Not saying that Lil Obama or Junior West going to make a difference, but they don't want to take any chances on him. So what they do? They destroyed his career by putting him out there with a gay whatever, whatever. And he ain't the only one. He ain't the only one doing drugs. He ain't the only one cheating on his wife. He ain't the only one cheating on his wife with a man. But they put out there who they want to put out there. If they want you in office and they know they can trust you, you're good. But if they can't trust you and they think you're going to make waves, they're going to get you. Look how many DAs now, black DAs, black mayors, that they're coming down on. Look it up. In Baltimore, Mosby, her family, her and her husband, coming up on charges. Why? Because she is clamping down on those police officers, and they don't like it, and they want her out. We got to understand the system that we're working with. Just because you're a police officer don't make you God. Don't mean you doing everything you're supposed to be doing. Let's look at the officer. Was he supposed to be there? Let's look at his file. Because Tamir Rice, the officer that was on Tamir Rice's case, he wasn't even fit to be on duty. He had already gotten fired from one police force. And this is what we need. We need a database. So every police officer that get fired for whatever reason, their name goes into that database. And the police and whoever does not do their job and put the information in, it should be a higher person that puts this information in. This is your job. If you don't put this information in, you are fired. It's time to hold people accountable. It's time to hold police officers accountable. It's time to hold KKK accountable. You so busy talking about a black identity extremist, identity extremist. You so busy talking that crap. Black folk ain't never hurt nobody. Who have black folk ever hung and put up on, hung and burned alive? Anybody? But I know plenty of black folks have done that. Go ahead, Shabazz. Thank you, Ms. Shabazz. Let's talk about this. What are we dealing with when we come across these police officers? Ozone decided to live that day. If he had to do it when those guys would have came, what was going to happen to him? What was going to happen? We have a system that's jacked up. So do we just allow it to stay that way? Or do we hold them accountable? Do we hold the system accountable? Do we hold the police accountable? Or do we just continue allowing them murdering unarmed black folks? Unarmed black folk. When you have white folk that's armed that don't die. But you have unarmed black folk. Ronald Green, look him up. They beat that man so bad. And then they killed him. Then they told his family that he was in a car accident and his car hit a tree. The damage that's done to that boy, that man, was terrible. Terrible. We have to start holding these animals accountable. We're going to hold these thugs. Hold these terrorists, hold the gang members accountable. And we're going to hold this one accountable. We need his file. We need his police file. We're not going to just look and say, oh, he's an officer, so Ozone is guilty. Hell to the no, we're not doing that. Sorry, Ms. Shabazz. We are holding this officer, Jason Reiner, accountable. Because he was up to some dirt. Now where you at? When you get up some dirt, some no good dirt, y'all can protect him. Yah is going to protect you. And y'all see a black man with a gun, you think, oh, my God, it's wrong. Why? We have the Second Amendment. Don't that apply for us, too? Why is it that we have stuff written that don't apply to black folks? We can walk down the street with a gun and get arrested, get thrown on the ground, get possibly shot, but a white boy can walk, Kyle Rittenhouse can walk down the street with a gun, an AR-15. He was underage. His parents drove him down there. His parents really should be arrested, too. I'm just saying. But this boy walking around free. And you got Spike in jail who went to visit Ozone. He's in jail with a $1 million bond. Make it make sense. He didn't kill anybody. Make it make sense. And why is this okay for us to see stuff like this and we don't do nothing? Why? Where's the marches today? Where is us holding these crackers, these white folk, accountable for the system that they work against us? When do we hold them accountable, family? When do we hold them accountable? You got Spike that's in jail on a $1 million bond, but you got Kyle Rittenhouse that killed two protesters, two, and he's out walking the free. Make it make sense. Make it make sense. Make it make sense. I am tired of what I'm seeing. Make it make sense. And Daniel, no, Ozon is not going to jail. If he can get the money to get him a lawyer, hold the system accountable. To hold this system accountable. Enough is enough is enough is enough for us allowing these police officers to murder, to come in our neighborhood, and to murder unarmed black folks. We just had one that was driving away, and they lied on the police report. They killed him, Andrew, in Elizabeth City. They just murdered that brother. Shot him in the back of the head. Hit the car driving away from them. They shoot him in the back of the head. Then they lie on the police report. They lied. All of them need to be arrested and for murder and put in jail. Try them for murder. Stop all of this craziness. We allowing them to get away with murder. And then you make an excuse that it's okay for them to shoot the man who's driving away. You're already his address. Where the hell is he going? He's in America. Where is he going? You have his address. You're at his house. Where did you come back home? Tap his phone. You know he's going to call somebody. But why kill him? Why kill him? Because he was driving away? Was that hurting you? Was he using lethal force against you? But two black officers shot into a white man who had a record. They were giving him a warrant. He was driving toward them. They shoot in the car, trying to shoot him. They shot the little boy in back. He was six. The little boy died. The officers got 20 years each. Make it make sense. I'm sick of this. You're holding black officers accountable, but the black officers cannot get treated the same way white officers. What about what's the Somalian guy? He shot the white woman. He was on duty. She came to the car, shot the white woman, killed her. He was threatened. He felt that he was threatened. His life was threatened. He couldn't use that same excuse. He couldn't use the same excuse. They put him behind in jail. He got 12 years. Make it make sense, family. Make it make sense. This system has got to go. We know their history. We know their history. Why is it okay for us to know their history and we're not holding them accountable? We're not holding the DAs accountable. We're not holding the judges accountable. We're not holding the prosecutors accountable because what they say goes. We ought to have, when those judges, when the grand juries come together, that family member needs to be sitting right there to see how they're presenting those cases because a lot of times they're not presenting those cases to where, and we saw that with Daniel Cameron. He should be in jail. He should have lost his license, and he should be in jail for lying, falsifying information. Daniel Cameron needs to be in jail for falsifying information. This is what I'm saying. Because I'm white and I say so, we're going to do what we want to do. We're not going to hold nobody accountable. As long as they ain't messing with black kids, white folks, I don't care what you do to black folks. We're not going to hold them accountable. The unions are not going to hold anybody accountable, and the unions are helping them. They're enabling them. The unions, the judges, the DAs, the prosecutors are enabling these police officers. Why would we not take this opportunity to fix this system? Tell me that. Why would we not take this opportunity to fix this situation? Ozone was defending himself. Jason Rayner, what kind of officer was he? Why do they always try to make our black men look guilty, make them look like nothing, make them look like they thugs? They showed him with a picture holding a gun. So what? So what? You see white folks holding a gun all the time. I had one on my phone. I don't know if I can get to it. I had one on my phone that was holding a gun. Talking about he getting ready to kill some black folks. Yep, it was on there. Did we hold him accountable? Was he arrested for the threat? Because that's a threat to me. No, he wasn't. Video went viral. He free as a bird. Never got nothing. Nothing ever happened to him. Why? Why did it have to go there? When that officer was there, why does it always end in death? Why does it always end where we have to fight for our lives? Why is it that we have to, you know, it's not just us fighting for our lives. It's what they're going to say that we did. We worried about how they're going to lie on the report. What happened to integrity? What happened to the integrity? I'm going to tell you, I went to the police academy. And they told me when I was in there, you falsified a police report, you're done. Termination. You can possibly go to jail. So why aren't these officers going to jail? And then they want to say something about the new Black Panther Party. Now, these new Black Panther, they want to consider them extremists. I heard one that the Black Panther Party was going to a training that was in Massachusetts, right? They were going to training. The car ran out of gas. So the police had them looking so bad on the news, and this is your white media, made them think that they was holding hostages, had the police hostage and all this stuff. No, that wasn't the case. They ran out of gas, and because those black folks had guns, they knew. They thought that their life was going to be, they thought they were going to be done. You already know what they was thinking. They was like, man, we out here in Massachusetts. We black. We got guns. They was going to a training. They was going to training. They was going to training. They weren't threatening anybody. They was going to training. And the news had on there that they were holding hostages and they was holding up the highway and all this crazy stuff. Why? Why? If the news ain't going to report the news right, why are you reporting anything? Why are we listening? Turn off ABC, NBC. Turn them off. Turn off CNN. Turn them off, black folks. Don't nobody watch them news. Watch Vicki Dillard, Professor Truth, who else? Boyce Watkins, Lisa Gabara. Let's watch some positive. Let's watch some real news. Phil Scott, let's watch the real news. Let's watch the real B1 news. You got to be B1. I don't want to watch the news if you're not B1. I'm just saying. Black Panther Party ain't never hung nobody. They ain't never burned down no cities. Who never burned a person. Remember the white folks burned a man hanging? Excuse me, he was hanging. They burned him alive. Okay? Remember that? And the kids sitting up there watching. That's mental illness. You think you passed down mental illness to your children, showing them this black man on hanging that you had him burning to death? Last time I checked, having a gun wasn't a crime. Last time I checked. You're trying to say that the Black Panther Party, who's never broken men, who's never cut babies out of anybody's stomach, nor stepped on the baby's head when the baby came out and fell on the ground, nor fed our babies to alligators. You trying to call them terrorists, BMEs, BEI, what, black extremists? You trying to call them black extremists? They call this, what they call the black, new Black Panthers, they call them anti-Semitic. They call them racist. When they was, you know, because they said that he was a part of this new Black Panther Party, okay? But when the guy was introducing the new Black Panther Party, they called them anti-Semitic. But how are you anti when you are Shemite? How are you anti anything? But if they don't know their history and you don't know your history, you believe what they're saying. Jews aren't either, they're not even the real descendants. And Shem, Judah, Shem, that's who we are. Khazarians can't even prove their DNA that they are Shem. I read a whole article about, and the article was so terrible, it was disgusting. It was an article. I'm just saying, we got to get it together, family. We have got to get it together. We have to start being truthful here. You know, we end up there for traffic stops, right? Nonviolent offenses. What was the little baby? He was 2019. The police officer just shot him. DeAndre stopped him for a freshener in his window. Nonviolent offense. He called his mama. Wanted to talk to his mama, right? She told him to get out the car. He got out the car. He tried to run. She grabbed her gun, the taser, and shot twice. Her taser's yellow, let me mind you, and her gun is black. So how do I grab something yellow? I ain't got nothing black. How do I grab, now we know the difference in color, yellow and black, right? How do I grab a yellow taser, a black gun, and I'm pulling it out and I'm looking at it, and it still don't come to my conscious mind that it's a gun? Shoots this boy twice. And she said, oh, I shot him. I killed him. I shot him. She said that. When are we going to deal with this, family? It's time for justice. It's time for justice. Every time they show up, whoever they're showing up for ends up dead. Why? Why? I'm going to read something, see if I can get it up here. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do my phone or not. Somebody call me on my phone. I feel like it's stuck. Wow, really? I ain't going to be able to get it. But I want to read something to you. Why do we have to fear every time the police get behind us? Why do we feel fear? When they get behind you, do you feel fear? What do you feel? Oh, my God, they're behind me. Am I going to see my family? What are they going to say that I did? Am I going to make it home alive? Why do we feel, and why do we make excuses? And why do we not make them deal with their broken system? The system is broken. It needs to be defunded, which when I say defunded, allocate monies to the psych, you know, like the psychiatric nurses, put them on the force, hire a psychiatric, a psychologist, psychiatrist, put them on the force, allocate monies to them. So when they somebody calls and say there's a mental illness case, send a police officer with the psychiatrist, but we're going to let the psychiatrist handle it. That's what we mean when we say defund. Dismantle, the whole freaking system needs to come down because we see that it's broken. We know where it came from. It's broken. It's not about training. It's about pulling it down and rebuilding the structure of it. Either we're going to protect property or we're going to protect people. Which one? Can't do both. We already know why the police was made. We know why it was invented, right? For property, to protect the man's bar, right? Protect property. It wasn't about people. Now, they refer to our new Black Panther Party as thugs and terrorists. Do they ever refer to the KKK Proud Boys as such? I'm just asking. Do they ever refer to them as thugs and terrorists? They've been allowed to roam free in America. But when Black folk want to bring attention to the injustice, the racism, inequality, what happens? Oh, y'all being racist. We want to talk our truth. Oh, y'all being racist. Let me just tell you, Black folk can't be racist. I don't know how many times I got to tell y'all that. We can't. We don't have no power to change nothing. So stop saying it. Stop. We can't be racist. They call them extremists. What's an extremist? They call them extremists. Why are you calling the Black Panther Party extremists, but you're not calling KKK extremists? They call, I remember one time they called President Clinton, Clinton, an extremist. Why? What does that word mean? It means different things, obviously. But you call President Clinton at one time when he's messing with, you know, and he did some, so he was doing some stuff in Haiti and all that stuff. They call him extremist. Ozone stood up for himself. He knew his life was in jeopardy. He knew it. You're not going to sit there and tell me that he didn't know that when that officer was there and he was doing all, calling for his backup, that he didn't know that his life was in jeopardy. He knew this cop was coming for no good. We want to support our brother family. This case is so important, and it could make history. We have to make sure that his story gets told. We have to make sure. They have a GoFundMe for him. He needs $30,000 just to obtain a lawyer, which shouldn't even cost that much. I mean, it's just so disappointing. Because it's not for Black folks to get attorney. You know, who has $30,000 just laying around to start, just to pay down, just for you to take a case? Where do they do that at? Where do they do that at? Where? $30,000 just to obtain a lawyer. Oh, it's $150,000, but we going to start with $30,000. This is the system we live in America. Well, it's going to take $30,000 for him to obtain a lawyer to help save his life, to bring light on these dirty police officers, to bring light on this dirty, jacked up, just unjust system that we're going to talk about more next week. We're going to talk about the prison system. We're going to talk about how our boys have served 35, 40, 50 years in prison and didn't do the crime because somebody lied on the police report. We're going to talk about these thugs here. Who lying, keeping their job, who have anger management issues, who are violent, threatening, who were created to wreak havoc on Black people. Jobs never changed, the name did, but the job description never changed, family. We need to make sure that he gets a fair trial. We need to make sure that his story is told, that the truth is told, and we don't hold, and we don't say, oh, he's guilty until he's, it's almost like when it's somebody Black, we're guilty until we're proven innocent. No, he needs the right jury, a jury of his peers, not all white. He needs a jury of his peers. And we need some B1 folk on there, not some coons. That when you get behind closed doors, you're going to let white folk tell you about Black people. No, you're going to tell them about Black people. If you are a jury on this jury, And I heard somebody say this before. We need to tell the jury what to say. We need to tell the jury, if you are on this case, stand your ground. Make them correct. Make them prove. Make them prove that he's a murderer. Make them prove that he was out to kill this cop. I don't believe he was out to kill anybody. I believe he was defending himself. When that cop came up there, he wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to shoot him, I'm going to kill him. He wasn't sitting there thinking that. That's not that's premeditated. He wasn't doing that. He probably was thinking, oh, my God. Oh, my Lord, what in the horror. So he's going to walk past my car. Don't even let him stop. You know, kind of, you know how you turn your head and hope they don't see you, and you be looking and you got like, oh, my God, I hope they don't see me. I'm sure he was doing that. I'm sure he was doing that. And when the cop came up to his window, knocked on his window, he's like, oh, Lord, God, hey, I'm going to have to face this. Oh, Lord. He probably was all kind of stuff going on in his mind. But I'm going to tell you what, when he called for that backup, he knew, oh, Lord, it's getting ready to go down. I do believe that he was afraid for his life because we know the history. We know how they react and how they act with us. Let's use this case to change history. Let's use this case to shine the light on the corruption of the police force, the corruption of the system in America, the corruption. Let's use this to show how the prosecutors get down, the DAs, the mayor, how it's always justifiable, even when it's not supposed to be justifiable. But they justify it anyway. Oh, they did nothing. Oh, the police officers are always correct. They're not. We know that. We've seen it. We have evidence that the police force has been infiltrated. We know that. It's been said. So why, if we know that, do we not assume that it's going to be some dirt, some mischief happening? Why are we trying to act like America? Why are we trying to act America like we don't know what's going on in these police force? Why are we trying to turn a blind eye, America, to how these police officers are murdering unarmed black people, unarmed black folk? But how many white folk unarmed are they murdering? How many white folk did they put in jail for 30 and 40, 50 years, 60 years, and they didn't do it? You got police officers that's on the force with police records, with records themselves. Chauvin, Derek Chauvin, he had 17 complaints for the 19 years that he was in service. Why? Why did it take him to kill somebody before they actually did something? Why is it taking this long for justice to happen when it comes to black people? Tell me why. I'm not understanding this. I don't understand. Because he's white and I say so? Because he's white and Daniel and I say so? That's why he deserves to go to prison? When he was defending himself, he was afraid for his life? Because you know and I know, Daniel, that when we encounter police activity, we end up dead. You know that, Daniel. So what's the problem, Daniel? Let's be honest, Daniel. Let's face the truth, Daniel. Let's see. Welcome. You're right. Let's get it. Let's get it. Let's get it. I want to show this. Let's do this. Let's go. I'm ready. I am ready. I'm doing my homework. Let's go. I'm going to be there before this year is out. I am going to be there. I'm doing my homework right now because it's time. It is time for us to make a difference. It's time. We cannot continue sitting here and allowing them to murder us. Africa's waiting. Yes. You know I have land in Gambia, right? I have land in Gambia. Yes. I got it through Blacksit. But, yep, I'm going to go to 2 more acres for my daughter and my granddaughter, so I should say 3. Exactly. Others come and saw the place they want to settle down, which is say, we're dying. You're dying there for no reason. You're right. And you know why they've chosen to stay? They're afraid because of what NASA has told us, because of what white America told us. Oh, you don't want to go to Africa? It's a shithole country. Don't you remember Trump saying that? And I'm just saying, excuse me, but I'm just saying what he said. But guess who's there, family? You're not. Asians are. White folks there. Indians are there. Arabs are there. But everybody is there except you. Everybody is there who's telling you not to go but you. Everybody else is there. Everybody's there telling you not to come. And we're going to believe them devils and not go? That belongs to us. Africa belongs to black people. Be one, black people. We're not talking about coons. We're not talking about everybody. Everybody can't go. Let's see, everybody can't go. Everybody who's not black first cannot go. Because we got some coons, and I'm telling you what, they love them from white folks. Uh-uh, they can't go. Leave them here. Leave them coons. Bring the coons from Africa over here. Let them stay with these white folks. And let the ones, the B1s, go. Okay, that want to go, that we know, we be one, black first. That's what B1 means, black first. Let's go. Yes. But I don't know what's for me. I got land because, you know, she was presenting it. So I'm going, I'm gonna visit Ghana. I may buy some land in Ghana. I may buy some land in Kenya. I'm going to buy some land all over Africa. So it's not just going to be Gambia. It's going to be all of Africa, 52 continents, right? 52, right? Why not? Why can't I visit all 52? I'm not just trying to go to one place. But let's go where we are accepted. Africa is big enough for all of our African Americans. That's what he's inviting us, family. Our brother is inviting us to go. So we really have to make a change here. We have been so brainwashed, excuse me, to think bad when you see a black man with a gun. We have been brainwashed to believe that. But we feel protected when you see white folk with guns, right? We feel protected when we see Kyle Rittenhouse with guns, right? We're going to talk about how many black men have had false reports written on them and how much time they got next week. We're going to talk about this. Oh, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. It's disgusting. And they know, and a lot of times they have the evidence right there in the cabinet at the police precinct. Remember the five Central Park boys? They knew that they weren't guilty, and they sent those boys, those babies. They were 15. They got up to five. Some of them got 5 to 15 years. I think the oldest one got 15 years, right? He was in jail 15 years. They found out he wasn't guilty, but he was 30 years old, 15 years. He was 30, 15 when he went in, came out when he was 30. That's ridiculous. They knew that those boys hadn't done it. They knew that. But did they care? No. Because they don't care. They don't care. You ain't their priority. Better you than them. You think they're going to give up there for you? No. You think they're going to give up their freedom for you? No. We're going to talk about how many. We're going to talk about these officers. We're going to talk about it. The system. The system is jacked up. We have a jacked up system. But you want to sit up there and tell me Ozone needs to go to jail. No. He was protecting himself, family. He was protecting himself. Okay? I want to give you some numbers, and I don't know if you still need to call those numbers. I think they're pretty much giving him his freedom, and they're giving him what he needs. But I do want us to look up that GoFundMe, and I think we should support that GoFundMe. You guys, I think we need to support that GoFundMe. Michi X talks a lot about the GoFundMe on her page, and I can't even pull her up. My phone is doing some crazy stuff, but I can't hang it up because I'm on another channel also. I don't know what's going on with this phone. This is crazy. Somebody called me on it, and it kind of put me into, I can't even click over to see if somebody's on Blog Talk waiting on me to talk. But I did not want to come on here and stay all day, but I do believe we have to stand with Ozone. We have to stand with him. Donate, family. You had millions, you gave millions of dollars to George Floyd. We have this brother that needs our help. And if I believe that he has the right attorney, he can win. Because look at the history of the police department. Let's look at the history. Let's look at the history and how they dealt with black people. That's all we got to go on is the history. And we know from looking at their history that they'll be convicted instead of Ozone. They'll know that this dude was fighting for his life. Yeah, go to all of the countries, all of them are unique, yes, and interesting. I believe that. I won't have a favorite because all Africa's ours. But I will call one spot my home, but I'm going to visit a lot of the countries. That is my plan. I am going to build on my land that I bought in Gambia. I don't know if I'm going to live there or have an Airbnb. I don't know right now. It's up in the air. But I am going to build me something on that land that I got. But I'm going to visit for about a year, 6 months to a year. I'm going to visit. I'm going to go to different places in the continent and visit before I decide where I want to lay my head. But I know it's probably going to be in the West because I do believe that we're much more needed in the West, you know, to be more developed. Gambia is not that much developed from my understanding like Tanzania is, but there's room to grow. There's room to develop the Gambia. There is room to develop, and we put our money where it's needed. I believe we go where we need, where we're supposed to be. We have to. But I believe, you know, right now it's going to be the Gambia. For me, for now, but I am planning on visiting other countries. I do appreciate each and every person that actually is spending time with me. I want you to like and share. I'm going to keep saying it. Like and share, family. Like and share. Hit the bell so that you'll know when I'm coming back next Tuesday. And I will be back next Tuesday at 11:30. That's Eastern time, 11:30. I don't know what time it is in Africa, but it's 1 o'clock now here, okay? I don't know what time it is in Africa. I think some places are 5 to 7 hours, I know, in front of us. So if it's 1 o'clock here, it's probably about 6 or 7 there, okay? So, but, yeah, I want us to think about supporting our brother. We have to bring light to this case. We have to put light on the police departments across America, and I do believe that they're all jacked up. I know people say, oh, they're good officers. No, they're not. No, because you had Derek Chauvin, whatever the heck his name was. He was a trainer, and he had disciplinary problems, okay, for like years, and he was fine, and they just allowed him to train people. So now you know he's dirty. So now you're going to let him train other cops to be dirty. Wilbur, thank you for you. I am just appreciative of everybody that dropped in to see what I had to say. But I think we have to come together and be a team on this because our brother needs us. Our brother Ozone Wallace needs our support. I don't care if you just put $10 in. A million people put $10 in. That's going to be what he needs. I'm just saying. We have to support our brother. Even if everybody, you know, just put $5. If you have $5, put GoFundMe it. $10, GoFundMe it. When our brother needs us, we need to come together because guess what? This could be you. It could have been you, Wilbur, sitting out there in the car, and the police come, and you think, oh, my God, what are they going to do? Oh, God, he's getting ready to call backup. I need to handle my business before backup comes. That could have been his thinking. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what. He decided to live, and I'm so glad that he decided to live. When you do dirt, dirt follows you, and dirt followed that officer because I don't believe that he was there for good. I don't believe that he had a good purpose. I don't believe that he had a good heart standing there when he was trying to intimidate and force, you know, our brother to do something that he didn't feel comfortable doing. I do believe that he's up to mischief. I do believe that the officer, Jason Rayner, R-A-Y-N-E-R, was, I don't know, I think they said he was off duty. So if you're off duty, why are you harassing anybody? Why don't you go home and take your behind to bed or do what you need to do? Go spend time with your family. I'm just saying, he would have been okay he would have been in his bed. He would have been still on his beat if Jason had went home and spent time with his family instead of harassing Ozone and you know, trying to, you know, be the big dog. No, go home. Your shift was over. Go home and do what you need to do. Okay? I do appreciate, I hope I didn't miss anything, but we have got to get together on this, you guys. We have got to not show our mental illness, because I did a story and we talked about mental illness, and I do believe that we're going to get back on that, because I've seen some stuff from black people, and it's just not even about white folks for me. It's all about my sister and brother. And I have one young lady that talks all the time about negativity as far as black people. And I'm always commenting. I'm saying, we've been in oppression for 400 or 500 years. What do you do? How do you come out of that? It's been 500 years you've been under an oppressed people. We came from slavery. We came from Jim Crow. Now, then we were free, and then we got back up under our enemies. Beat me while we do that. I have no idea. But come on, you guys. We have got to support, and let's stop acting like coons. And let's stop acting like nothing else, and we don't care about nothing else. It's just not my family and my four, me and my four, and it's no more. No, that's not how this individualization has got to go. It's not just, ooh, ooh, me. No, that individualized rhetoric has got to go. It's time for us to act as a team, because we can get more done as a team than we can being by ourselves. With that said, family, I am not going to be on here much longer. We're going to support our boy Ozone Wallace, Michi X. Look on her page, and she does have his information on her page. Okay, so let's support our brother. He needs $30,000. Let's support him like we've never supported him. Let's support. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm not going to do, but we will support our brother. And let's give our love to African Tiger. She lost her dad. And let's give her some love. And she does have a GoFundMe on her page also. So we need to show her some love also. Okay? Love you, African Tigers. And we are going to support our brother, Ozone Wallace. And with that said, peace, family. I'll see you back here next Tuesday. Like and share the broadcast. Like and share. Because we are not done with these police officers. We are going to make this time. It's time for things to change. It's really time for things to change, and it is time for us to make it change, okay? We have a choice to stay the same, change situation, or to join them, beat them, or change it. I say change it. Change it. American racism. But don't forget, I have a new page, Our New Reality. Look it up. Join that page. Let's like and share that page. I have two videos on that. I can't get away from racism in America to do my page over there, because I'm not trying to talk about the racism in America over there, but that's all that's happening. So I can get away from that. So you guys tune in to Our New Reality, and we are going to talk to you next Tuesday at 11:30. Peace, family. All right, Blog Talk. I do appreciate you for coming. I do appreciate you for staying with me. I do appreciate you for coming on and just hanging in there with me. Let's grow the channel, and let's like and share. You can also go on my Facebook page, my YouTube channel at Cassandra Cheek, and it's we're going to talk about victim of extreme and continuous police misconduct. We're going to talk about that next week, but this week, it was good, and we are going to we're going to just know that this is a changing of the gods, and things are going to be different, and this is a different case. It's not like any other case we've ever had. This case is different, and we are going to support our brother, Michi X, on her page. She does have the information about Ozone. I tried to get it, but I couldn't. It's on there. I just didn't have time to go back on her page. But, yeah, and now my phone is stuck, so I can't get on her page. But I appreciate you, everybody, for tuning in. And with that said, you guys have an amazing rest of your day. Peace, family.